Everybody say, brrr. Wow. I got out of my house and I took two steps to the car and I turned around and went right back in for a scarf. I said, whoa, I thought it was supposed to get warmer. You know, 2017 started very strange for me. First time ever in all my preaching ministry, I got to page 6 of my sermon notes and there wasn't a page 7. Whoa, that happened Thursday. But I had a backup plan, I thought. I always give Dorothy Bickle a copy of my sermon, so I stood up, came out from under the pulpit there and walked right out there and said, Dorothy, let me have your sermon. I'm going to preach it. And she was one page shorter than mine. That was a mess. So, before we start, I'm going to look and see here. Oh, good, we're good. No, I checked back there. They're all here. Praise God. You don't know how nerve-wracking that can be when you come out to the point in your sermon and you're just getting to the part where you're really going to draw the net and nothing. Oh, I hope that doesn't happen today. Hope that doesn't happen today. You know, I purposed in my heart not only is 2017 going to be a great year, which we heard about last week and believe, but also I purposed that it will be a year of power and prosperity, and I'm not talking about money. Power and prosperity spiritually. How about you? Is that what you want in 2017? Let me see some hands, okay? Good. That means we're all awake and we're cold. You might want to sit closer together because it's cold, okay? And that's all right. It's going to be a year of prayer. It's going to be your personal witnessing. And that's what I talked about Thursday. It's going to be a year of finishing the work, talking about behind this wall, but finishing the work that God's put on our lives as well. It's going to be a year of starting a new work as well. Something fresh, something exciting. It's not going to be the same old, same old. It's going to be a year that is about God and not about me. Do you agree? Shouldn't that be the way it is? Let's make 2017 a year about God, because that's what the church is about. We are the body of Christ, and we're there to celebrate Him and show the world who Jesus is. And we do that two ways, by praying for them and with them, and by witnessing to them. Have you ever been to a church at some time when somebody suggested, and maybe this is way back in the old day churches, we don't do it so much now, but somebody actually said, I suggest we have a season of prayer. Anybody heard that phrase? I suggest we enter a season of prayer. Well, what does that even mean anymore? You don't hear that much anymore. Well, there are seasons for everything. And I'm not talking about sports seasons now. I'm talking about seasons, not just summer, fall, winter, spring, those kind of seasons, but times of refreshing, times where you set apart to do something specific. A season is defined as a short period of time, usually, an opportune moment, maybe, an hour, or a set time period. It's a season that has varying lengths and degrees of intensity. When we refer to prayer and seasons of prayer, we mean specific prayer moments, set aside times or experiences or opportunities. They're different in their intensity from normal prayers. They're different in the duration of a normal prayer, whatever normal prayer is. And they're all different kinds of prayer. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, the writer says, to everything, there's a season. And then he goes on in great descriptions of what that means. A time for this, a time for that, a time for everything. But there is, in fact, a time for a season of prayer. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. And if you have a prayer need, something that you've been struggling with for a while, a family problem or a personal problem, it might be a time for you to enter a season of prayer for just that thing. If prayer is to be one of my focuses this year, and I believe it is, it was in Midweek Connections Thursday, it's fitting my first message on Sunday be about prayer. Now, I want a spoiler alert for you. Normally, in the last several months, we've been on the same track with Pastor Randy. Whatever he preached, I preached, Pastor Kent preached. It'd be a little bit different because of our backgrounds and our what we bring to it, but it was the same message. So you can have two messages if you want. You can have this message on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, and you can go online and hear Pastor Randy's, or you can stick around for another hour of church if you've got nothing else to do and hear what Pastor Randy's sharing. It won't be a lot dissimilar because he and I are on the same page many ways. And we're going to have references to each other. For example, I'll be talking throughout the year about this is going to be a great year because that's the theme of the year. That won't change. But my focus today is on, I'm going to add, just do a quiz because I like to do this as a teacher. Who can tell me what the focus of the message is today in three words? Anybody? Look at your bulletin. Season of prayer. Now, when you leave here, at least you'll remember that. You might not know what it is, might not be doing it, but at least you'll know what it is that I'm talking about. Today, instead of talking about the immediate prayers that we talked about on Thursday, I'm going to talk about this extended time of prayer, the season of prayer, and taking prayer, if you will, to a new level. Now, that's not to insult us for saying that we aren't praying deep enough, but saying there are times when your prayer has to be more fervent, more long-lasting, more concerted. Paul exhorted the church in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, to pray with all prayer. Well, that's interesting. How do you pray with all prayer? How do you not pray with all prayer? What he's talking about is an intensity of your heart. And in his letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul told Timothy that he's to teach men to pray everywhere, and watch this, to pray with supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. There are all sorts of kinds of prayers. And a season of prayer incorporates many of them. Seasons of prayers are times that call for that deeper level of prayer, a longer duration perhaps in prayer, even a special attitude in prayer. In other words, it's not an arrow prayer while driving in traffic. Lord, get me to work on time. That's not a season of prayer. Too short? Too nonspecific, really. Some have called the seasons of prayer seasons of the soul, and that's kind of an interesting term for it. They call it for good reason. Let me list you six aspects of them. Now, that's not the six sermon points. It's just six short aspects of a season of prayer. Number one, they are seasons of repentance and of brokenness. They're a season where sometimes, at least in the Old Testament, people would sit in sackcloth and ashes. I don't expect we'll do that in 2017. It'd be very unlikely if I walked into the church someday and found two or three people sitting at the altar throwing ashes up in the air and ripping their clothes. Probably not going to happen. That was done to demonstrate to them their fervency of prayer and their brokenness of spirit. They didn't care what they looked like. They didn't care who was going to judge them. They wanted to get with God. And they wanted to show God their deep anguish over what it is they were praying for. If you wanted to write some scriptures down, I'm not going to go into them. 2 Chronicles 7:14, which is, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and all of that. That passage, Daniel 9:3-19, Hosea 10:12, and James 5:16 are all talking about that kind of anguish in prayer. So they're often accompanied by tears and sorrow. Now, you know, in 2016, you didn't see a lot of crying at the altar in any church. We're in a different age. Today, it's giggling at the altar seems to be the appropriate thing. I need Jesus as my Savior. What? Didn't happen that way for me. Man, when I got called into the ministry of God through His Spirit, I went to the altar and I wept and I didn't think I could stop because I wasn't qualified to go to heaven, even, I thought, by the blood of Christ, until someone taught me better. And I wept because of my sin. And there was anguish at the altar. Well, that was, seems like 100 years ago. Nowadays, you don't see so much tears at the altar. And maybe that's why our prayers don't get answered. Maybe we're not as upset with our sin as we ought to be. Because everybody's sinning. You can't trust anybody. Everybody's a liar. If you look at the last year's political conventions and the season, if you will, of arguments, they were ridiculous. They were embarrassing. And yet I find as I looked into history, that's how they were before as well. We just forgot how bad they got. If you want a history lesson, read what happened between Abraham Lincoln and Stephen Douglas. That was vicious. It made the one we just had look like a cakewalk. So there's seasons of repentance and brokenness, accompanied by tears and sorrow and by self-examination and repentance. Number two, seasons of prayer are seasons of searching and seeking. Now, not like, wonder where I left my wallet, which, by the way, I lost. I think I left it at home. Wonder where my glasses are. That's not that kind of seeking and searching. It's like, where's my child? I haven't seen him for 2 hours. He was out in the yard and now he's gone. That's a different kind of seeking and searching. It's calling the neighbors, calling your friends, desperately wanting, where is that child? And a season of prayer isn't like, oh God, I hope you show up and witness to this person because they're lost and maybe they'll go to hell. It's like, Lord, if I don't reach them now, they're forever going to be in hell. And there's a desperate seeking and searching. You may be seeking the Lord for wisdom or for knowledge or for a vision or for direction or for confirmation. Lord, is this the right action to take? But a season of prayer, you're dedicated to getting an answer from the Lord. You find that in Deuteronomy 4:29, in Isaiah 55:6, and in Zephaniah 1:6. You've perhaps done that. You've perhaps been searching. Maybe you're there now. You're not really seeing it as a season of prayer, but you're always on your mind about something or somebody. And you're always leaving something for the Lord. I know there have been times in my life where it seems like people must judge me like, is he getting saved every week? Is he at that altar every week? Because I'm still always putting it before the Lord week after week, and then all of a sudden I get the answer, then you don't see me at the altar for a while. Because I found what God's direction was. It's an urgent, long-term prayer request. Maybe for your child to come to Christ. Or maybe for a granddaughter. Or maybe for your neighbor. Or a very good friend. Well, number three, seasons of prayer are seasons of waiting. Boy, that's hard. How many of you like to wait? I don't like to wait for a cup of coffee. In fact, the coffee's poured, and I will sometimes pull my cup out and put something else in so that I can get the coffee. I don't even wait till it's done. I don't like to wait in line at McDonald's. I especially don't like to wait in line at Walmart. Now, I know their motto is you're always next in line at Walmart, but if they have to live it out like that where there's 12 stations and only two are open and there's always somebody in line in them. And I always get in the shortest line, which always takes the longest time. Why? I think God's trying to teach me about waiting. Waiting is difficult for anybody, and the faster life moves, the harder it is to wait. And in seasons of prayer, you're waiting for something a whole lot more important than getting your groceries checked out. It's a time of watching and waiting. It's an all-night waiting time. In the old days, they used to call this something else that's unfamiliar to us today. It's called praying through. Anybody heard that term, praying through? That means going to the altar and you don't leave until you think you got something. But everybody's leaving and they're all going to lunch. You're staying. Why? I haven't heard from God yet. And you may be there that afternoon. And in years gone by, we'd have church Sunday night. And you could go back to church and they'd still be there. Why? Because lunch wasn't as important as getting in touch with God. We don't pray through so much. Why? Because we don't have seasons of prayer. It's hard to stay in prayer for 10 minutes. Check it out. Wednesday nights, prayer meeting night. No longer prayer meeting night. Now it's got to be Bible study and Awanas. Because you can't get 15 people together to pray for an hour. But we'll talk about prayer for 45 minutes. And we'll share testimonies for 10 minutes. And we'll pray for 2 minutes. And God bless this mess. That's not a season of prayer. No, we're close. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, and Acts 12:5, and 2 Corinthians 6:5, we talk about praying through. A century ago, 100 years ago, I wasn't there. This went on in churches and in altars around the world. And in fact, back in 1904, it was the seedbed for the days of awakening in the Welsh revival. I know because I'm Welsh and I studied my history. 1904, such a powerful revival, and it all started because there was a 2-year season of prayer on a mountain where it started with 2 people and ended with 150. And suddenly, Evan Roberts came out of the mines and said, God, rend the heavens and come down, and he did. Why? Because some people paid the price of prevailing prayer, of a season of prayer. And that season took 2 years. Number four, there are seasons of Spirit-led intercessions. Watch out now. Spirit-led intercessions gets Baptists scared. It's praying in the Spirit. What does he mean now? Matthew 4:1, 2 Corinthians 12:2, Ephesians 6:18, Revelation 1:10, all of them talks about praying in the Spirit, so it's real. But it isn't talking about praying in tongues. Praying in spirit is different from, could include, but doesn't mean you have to be speaking in tongues. How many of you have ever prayed in the spirit and you knew it wasn't you? All of a sudden, words are coming out of you that aren't you. They're God's words coming out from you to God. That's praying in the spirit. It's sometimes letting the Spirit of God intercede when you're at an altar and you don't know what to say, and here's what it sounds like. Oh, God! That's God praying to God. It's groanings that you can't speak. But God knows what they mean because He knows your heart. And when you're in a Spirit-led prayer, sometimes it isn't words that come out, but groans. Because you're so intensely seeking God. Yeah, in seasons of prayer, there's groanings at the altar, and you don't hear much of that anymore either, do you? You hear whispers. You hear giggles. And I wonder, is that where the power left the church? Number four, there's seasons of pleadings and fervency. Jesus modeled that for us in the garden. Great drops as they were of blood. They weren't blood, but it's as if they were blood, came off his face as he wept before the Father, as he agonized in the garden. There's a one-time only used word. In the Greek language, they call that a hapax legomena. Are you proud of me? I really worked on that word. I could say it twice. That was it. Hapax legomena, one time only ever used in the Bible word. And that's what Jesus prayed like. And the word best translated is, when it says he sweat as it were great drops of blood, is he prayed soul stretched outedly. It's not even a real word to us. He prayed with such agony of spirit that his soul was literally like leaving his body, reaching the heavens. That's what happens in a season of prayer. You forget about where you are, and you remember that God said, we're seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus, and we think we're there because he says we are. That's great praying. Number five. I'm sorry, this is number six. I don't know what number I'm on now. There are seasons of worship and thanksgiving. Yeah, in the midst of all that groaning and all that soul stretched out and praying, it's when you're ministering to the Lord as he ministers to you. You're ministering to the Lord as you wait for the Lord. You're waiting upon the Lord. You're in the presence of Jesus in a way you aren't just when you walk down the street. You sense it. The hairs on the back of your neck are way up there. You feel like you're right there with nobody but God. And you don't want to leave. The phone call won't get you out of that kind of prayer. A knock on the door doesn't mean anything to you now because you're with holy God and you know it and you don't want to lose that moment. You're hanging onto his garments and you don't want to let go. That's the kind of fervency. That's the kind of worship. That's the kind of thanksgiving that goes on in a season of prayer. Psalm 27:14 and Acts 13:2 talk about that kind of prayer. The Bible teaches us that God inhabits, dwells in, lives in the praise of his people. That's why particularly senior adults got to quit being so grumpy and start giving some worship out. Because God isn't around when you're going, oh, I hurt all over and it's really a cold day. That's not where God lives. He lives when you say, oh, God, thank you for this beautiful, glorious day and my feet are on this side of the earth and I got something more to do and I worship you. He inhabits that praise. He delights in our worship and adoration. Listen, I don't think God cared that I had a frog in my throat when I was singing with Duke, and it's a good thing you couldn't hear me and you heard him, or you probably would have gone like this. But God heard it and went like this. Why? Because he delights in the worship of his children. No matter how bad it sounds to you, it sounds great to him. Why? Because he's looking in your heart and he sees joy there. Joy of Jesus. He approaches those who come into his presence in that season of deepest, intimate prayer. He says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. If you're not near to God, perhaps you ought to consider a season of prayer and not just a baby's prayer. Rub, dub, dub, thanks for the grub, won't do it. That's what I'm talking about. Now, as you heard those five, six things about seasons of prayer, maybe now you understand that you're more acquainted with it than you thought. You knew some of that stuff. The trouble is, it's not being practiced today. Prayer is a secondary discipline for us today. We all say we pray, we all say we have a prayer life, but we don't have seasons of prayer, not at this altar, not in our rooms. We have a 10-minute rub-dub-dub. And that won't cut it in 2017 if you're trying to reach your neighbors and family for Christ. Just won't do it. But you also may have come to the conclusion, Pastor Clark, you know what? I think I'm in a season of prayer. I can't let this one thing go. Every time I pray, it's the first thing my mind goes to is this thing, this person, this need. I found out someone in my family has a dread disease, and I can't stop praying about it. You're probably in a season of prayer. Enjoy it, because they're rare. Maybe it's over a family situation or a health concern. Maybe it's for our nation's unity, and somebody needs to get into a season of prayer for that. Because it's not about Republican or Democrat or black or white. It's not about the difference between the has and the has not. It's not those who are for abortion and those who are against. It's about there is no unity in the body of Christ even. Check it out. Churches are divided over the same things as the world is. Shame on us when there's no unity. And you'll find unity, by the way, guess where? In a season of prayer. By the time you're done with that season of prayer, you're all on the same page because you've heard from God one thing. And you're all excited about that. Maybe it's for the world situations, and you're worried about ISIS, and you're worried about terrorism, you're worried about this and that, you're worried about tornadoes, and you're worried about tsunamis, and so much worries you, you're worried about global warming, you're worried about everything, so worried that you're forgetting who's in charge. God's in charge. Don't worry. Feel like Alfred E. Newman. Quit worrying. What, me worry? Because I've got a God who's still on the throne. But when I start to get worried, it's time to get a season of prayer about it. Say, Lord, you got to touch this. You got to show me what my role is in this. Are you using this to reach the world for Christ one last time? Maybe I need a different view of the world's crises. But wait. Being in a time where a season of prayer is needed is not the same as being in a season of prayer. It's not the same as, well, it's winter time, so I'm in the winter season. No, it's I need the prayer, but I need to get into the prayer to be in a season of prayer. It requires something very unusual. Guess what it requires to be in a season of prayer? This isn't rocket science. Prayer. If you're going to be in a season of prayer, you got to get in the prayer. And just knowing that you need it, desiring it, longing for it isn't doing it. And all the talk and teachings of the world, all the bookstore writings about prayer will never get you into prayer. You know what got me into prayer this year? A couple of major setbacks. Loss of a wife and an incursion of cancer. Wow, I learned about prayer then. It took that to get me in a season of prayer. And not only that, it was wham, wham, back to back. And I said, Lord, what's this for? And at the end of the day, I realized God works all things together for good to those that love Him. I love Him. That means this works good for me. Do I understand it? No, I don't. But I'm sure glad He's doing it. He's working it for good for me and for those I know. Just like He did for Joseph. When everything looked bad for Joseph, God was preparing him for some years later to save the nation of Israel during the famine in Egypt and Israel. You know, we can miss the best of what God has for us because we didn't care enough to seek and search diligently. Prayer is a gift from God, a precious gift, by which we gain access to the Father in no other way. It's like writing a letter to someone you love and you know they got it. Now, I know there's the dead letter office, the post office. Sometimes the letters don't get delivered, but the letter of prayer always, always gets delivered. Daniel was praying for 3 weeks for God to show up. And God showed up at the end of 3 weeks and said, the moment you asked, I was on my way. I got a little bit distracted by this prince of Persia. But I heard you and I came. When we pray to God and get access to the throne room, we find what we talk about often, grace to help in time of need. How many of you have a need today? You can get grace to help that need if you get into prayer, and not just an arrow prayer. We should strive to be among those who seek His face continually at all times. And so just for a moment, bear with me for a little teaching time. If you want to appropriate the power of a season of prayer, because you're desperate for it, you really want it, then I'm going to tell you how to do it in a simple 7-step process. First, it's going to be hard, write out your concern. Don't just leave it in your head. Be specific. Write it out. Rewrite it until it's very short and very specific. I want my son saved. That's pretty specific. I want revival in America. That's pretty specific. Write it down. And then number two, find another Christian who has that same concern. Might be your spouse. Might be a sibling. Might be someone in your church. Might be a best friend. Might be a pastor. Say, listen, I want my son saved. Do you care about my son being saved? Yes, I do. You're going to pray then with me. You've enlisted a prayer partner. Number three, establish a time, that's what a season is, a time to meet with that person. By the way, you could get more than one, but I'm limiting it to just make it easy. Get that person and you together for a time that you can take that concern, that specific concern, to God. It can be done alone, but the Bible says where two or three are there and agree is touching something, God's going to do it. So it's always helpful. That Welsh revival I told you about, that started with two people on a mountain. And over a period of time, more and more were added to it. Had the same concern, the same desire, revival for Wales. And by the end of 2 years, it came. Maybe your two will become 20, become 200, and pretty soon the church is interceding for that prayer. Number four, examine your heart for any secret unconfessed sin. Because the Bible teaches us, if you regard iniquity in your heart, He will not hear you. So having a season of prayer is useless if you're going to have a prayer with a lot of sin in your heart. So you got to start there. You and your partner, your friend, that prayer warrior with you, talk about the sin. Confess your faults one to another that you be healed. And then that righteous effect of prayer of a fervent man availed much. Number five. After you've seen that sin in each other, cleanse your heart by confession and repentance. 1 John 1:9. You're now ready to enter the season of prayer. And just before you do, you look to the Word of God. Examine the Scriptures for what God has already said about your concern. For example, oh, that my son would be saved. And then you have a Scripture that says, I am not willing that any should perish. Wow. Does that apply to my son? Yes, it does. And then you do the most important thing in that season of prayer. Pray back God's promises to him. Years ago, I was in a revival, not the kind of revival that God sends, but a 2-week revival in a church in Louisville, Kentucky. I was a member of the church. I wasn't the pastor. I was part of the people who decided we would pray during the revival in the upper room. Leonard Ravenhill was the speaker. His brother, nobody remembers his first name. His brother, an unnamed saint, everywhere Leonard went would be in an upper room or a lower room or some room outside hearing the sermon and would be praying for his brother. And I had the privilege of praying with a man who knew what a season of prayer was. His season of prayer was during his brother's sermon. And 20 of us got in a room. Some of us for the wrong reasons. Some because we wanted to hear this guy pray. Some because it looked noble and holy to be in a prayer circle. But some of us because we wanted revival to hit our church. And we got in that room and we listened to this man pray. And he prayed, listen to me, soul stretched outedly. He prayed the Scriptures back to God. This man prayed more Scriptures than I knew. And I knew it was the Scriptures because it was prayed in King James. Wow. He didn't tell me what the verses were. He just spoke the word of God back to God. You said, God, if my people, and on he went with that passage. And by the time he said it, I believed it. I'm humbling myself. I'm praying. I'm turning from my wicked ways. And he prayed for 45 minutes. The rest of us were useless. We were agreeing, amen, amen. And then when he was done, guess what? His brother was done. He knew by the Spirit of God when to quit. He wasn't doing it to show off. If nobody had showed up in that room, he was going to be there. And he did it everywhere he went. And great revivals came out of the mouth of Leonard Ravenhill. Who gets the glory for that? God. Not Leonard and not his unnamed brother. God does. Pray his promises back to him. And all that's going to take a season. All night, all day, all week, the whole sermon long, whatever it takes. This kind of prayer is also called prevailing prayer. So you got to get ready for it. Listen to what Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 says. It says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord." That's a prophecy. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Before you go into that prayer closet, he says, "Consider your ways. You've sown much and you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm." Wow, he's talking about today. Brr. "And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes in it. Thus saith the Lord of hosts," he says, "consider your ways." If you're going to go into a season of prayer, think about the things you're doing before you think you can get anything from God. And Acts 3:19 says, "Repent. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins can be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." When you're in that season of prayer, the Holy Spirit will breathe on you and you'll know it. And you will not be the same when you get off your knees. You'll say, "Wow, I need to do that more often." But we're a nation that doesn't do it at all. A season of prayer requires getting your heart right. I implore you, take your prayer life to a new level in 2017. Because when you get serious with God, serious things start to happen. People do get saved. Nations get revived. Worlds change. And yet too often, we're even blind to our need for a season of prayer. Acts 1:7 says there's a reason. He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father put in his own power." Assume it's now. You don't have to know it's now. Assume that there's a need in your life, in your circle of influence, for a season of prayer. And then get into that season and stay in it like Jacob wrestled with God for a night until he was blessed by God and his hip was put out of socket. Not sure I want that, but I'll take the blessing of God. Many of you already have a prayer life. Galatians 6:9 says, "Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season," I think that's the season of prayer, "you'll reap if you faint not." If you have a prayer life, stay in it, but make it deeper. Some of you can say you're satisfied with your prayer life. "I see answers here and answers there. I think God is at work in my prayer life." Praise God. Don't give up with that. Don't take this as a judgment. Take it as an encouragement to stay longer in it. But for those of you who are here and you seek and hunger for the power of heaven to fall around you afresh and anew in 2017, it's time for a season of prayer for you. Of course, it needs to be said, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't need a season of prayer. In fact, it wouldn't do you any good. You need one simple childlike prayer first before you ever think about a season of prayer. That childlike prayer that says, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know you saved me through the activity of the cross and by your blood. Please forgive me and come into my heart." And that prayer is the prayer he guarantees he will answer right now. If you haven't prayed that prayer, pray it now. And then as soon as you pray that prayer, guess what? You don't have to wait 10 years and go to seminary to do a season of prayer. Right after you're saved, you're eligible to get into a season of prayer. Receive him now as Savior and Lord, and begin an adventure, a lifelong adventure with prayer. Hallelujah. I got my last page, and it's right here. Amen. And it only has one line on it. Invite God's Spirit into your heart so that your conversations, your prayers, your worship, your praise, everything can be heard by him. And then enter your first season of prayer. Stand with me. And we're going to go to him in a very, very short season of prayer, where I give you an opportunity to come receive Christ or come lay your prayer need on the altar. You don't have to tell anybody but God. Say, Lord, here is the prayer of my heart. And I'll stay in that prayer until I hear from you. Father in heaven, in your name we pray. The name that's above every name, we come to you and ask you, hear our prayer. For that one that wants Jesus as Savior, hear that prayer. Receive them as your child. Allow them the privilege of prayer that we have. And Lord, may they be raised up as the prayer leader of our church, of a generation, of a nation in desperate need for a season of prayer. Lord, trouble our hearts until we want what only you can give. And we grab hold of you and won't let go till you bless us. Be with us, Lord, this day as we surrender to you in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a